Everything that drives, floats, and flies is dependent on spatial data. All of Defence's capabilities, including our future advanced systems, are all enabled by spatial data to some degree.
We see a need to shift the emphasis from data supply to user demand and become more focused on the needs of the end user. Australia's future is linked to how we capitalise on the use of spatial data to better inform the key decisions and actions that are needed to address Australia's most pressing challenges.
Advances in digital technology are transforming the way we all do business, and location is fast becoming the nerve center of the digital future. Why? Because in our global environment, location matters. And most data includes a location component that, when unlocked, will open new lines of inquiry, analysis, and understanding. Welcome to the Locate podcast, where we share with you a deep dive into the lives, motivators and future legacies of some of the key players at the Locate Conference, Australia's annual national gathering for custodians of location data creation and management. Locate conferences have been bringing together geospatial and surveying professionals to connect, collaborate and learn about cutting-edge industry developments and insights since 2014. Locate conferences provide 3 days to deep dive into geospatial technologies and harness the power of location.
Welcome everyone to today's podcast episode. I'm delighted to say that we are joined today on this podcast by Dr. James Johnson, CEO of Geoscience Australia, and Mr. Tom Hamilton, Director of Australian Geospatial Intelligence Organisation. Thank you both, Tom and James, for joining us on today's podcast episode. It's such a pleasure to have you join us. I'd like to start off by asking, what's your journey been so far to where you are today? James, I might start with you and then we'll pass to Tom.
Well, my background is as a geologist. My training's as a geologist, and I worked for around 20 years in the mining and mineral exploration sector, mostly in Western Australia, actually. And in those days, I've never thought I would end up working for the government, but here I am at Geoscience Australia, and that's because the planets aligned probably 15, 16 years ago, and a great job came up back in Canberra, which is where I'm from, and I joined to head the Minerals Division, and increasingly my job's become more diverse, and I've been CEO at GA for 6 years now.
Wonderful. Thank you, James. And Tom, how about yourself?
Thank you, Roshni. I'm very glad to be here today. My background is very different to James. I joined the public service in the Department of Defence in 2001 and have worked in defence in a range of roles, including strategic policy, international policy and defence capability development. I've also worked in the Department of the Prime Minister and Cabinet, as well as the Treasury and at Parliament House. And in every one of those roles, there's been a degree of use of geospatial products to inform what it was I've done. So the opportunity to come and work in the Australian Geospatial Intelligence Organisation, which is the lead agency for geospatial information and intelligence in defence, was too good to pass up.
And how do each of your organisations use spatial data?
At Geoscience Australia, spatial data it's fundamental to everything that we do, all of our science. It underpins our science activities and fundamental to our role, as we see it, as contributing to a safer, more prosperous and sustainable Australia. Spatial data helps us to tackle immediate threats that we encounter today, things like floods, bushfires, earthquakes even, and helps us to respond to the great challenges of the future, you know, things like climate change and how we adapt. So we use spatial data to connect people, organisations and services. And our mission is as a trusted source of information on Australia's both geology and geography, to support effective decision making in government, in industry, and indeed also in communities. And all of that relies on the creation, the use, and the sharing of spatial data. We use spatial data across all of our strategic impact areas, and those are building Australia's resource wealth, supporting community safety, as I've touched on a little earlier, securing Australia's water resources, helping to manage Australia's marine jurisdictions, creating a location-enabled Australia, particularly through some of our space-related programs, and enabling an informed Australia. And we work across the full life cycle of spatial data, from creation, acquisition, collation, integration, to interpretation, analysis, and ultimately dissemination and curation of that data. We look forward to sharing information about Geoscience Australia's programs that create and use this spatial data at the Locate 22 conference. We'll be talking about programs like Exploring for the Future, Positioning Australia, Digital Earth Australia, and its sibling, if you will, Digital Earth Africa, and importantly, a new program, the Digital Atlas of Australia, and Oz Seabed.
In some ways, an easier question might be what we don't use spatial data for. Spatial data is central to everything the Australian Geospatial Intelligence Organisation, or AGO, does, and our value to defence. It underpins our entire function and purpose, and it provides the information edge that enables government decision makers to make informed decisions and directly supports Australia's defence and national security interests. All of defence's capabilities, including our future advanced systems, are all enabled by spatial data to some degree. Everything that drives, floats, and flies is dependent on spatial data. The ADF must have assured access to this data to do what it needs to do, from combat operations to humanitarian assistance and disaster response. It's the role of AGO to lead the geospatial community in order to provide defence with this critical access. The broader defence organisation relies on us to support it through not just access to data, but by making that access easy, clear, and comprehensive. Importantly, geospatial intelligence, or GEOINT, has evolved beyond just imagery and geospatial awareness. We're now also responsible for interpreting, analysing, and visualising large, disparate, and unstructured data types to ensure that our customers have the best information available to do their job and to protect the security and sovereignty of the nation. We often use spatial data to support defence efforts during the annual high-risk weather season, be that bushfires, floods, or cyclones, and to assist during regional humanitarian and disaster response efforts.
And so I'm hearing that geospatial data is absolutely fundamental and foundational to the way that these two core and critical organisations within the Australian government operate and support Australia's safety and the prosperity of Australia's economy and society. What opportunities do you see in how your organisations use spatial data in the future?
Well, we see a need to shift the emphasis from data supply to user demand and become more focused on the needs of the end user. Australia's future is linked to how we capitalise on the use of spatial data to better inform the key decisions and actions that are needed to address Australia's most pressing challenges. Locations being increasingly used around the world to connect data and workflows in a way that improves the safety, health, economic well-being and resilience, and also the sustainability of communities. However, increasingly, the true value of data lies in the combined use of data, people, and technology to derive actual knowledge that's being applied to solving problems and meeting needs, and increasingly, in real time. We need to move beyond providing a mechanism to access data to being able to collaborate on the data to jointly generate new knowledge. And generating knowledge involves using our data to form predictions and gain deeper insights, describing the why and the how rather than just the what, the when, and the where. At Geoscience Australia, we're uplifting our spatial capabilities and improving how spatial data is integrated, how it's analysed and shared through two key new initiatives that I'd like to just mention now. First of all, the Digital Atlas of Australia. With that, we're leading the establishment and operation of the next generation of government's location-based data infrastructure, consisting of a secure, dynamic and interactive national map of Australia's geography, population, economy, infrastructure and environment. And this is all part of the government's commitment to grow Australia as a leading digital economy by 2030. And the second one I'd like to mention is our contribution to the Australian Climate Service. Our information on natural hazards, exposure, vulnerability and impacts, as well as our Earth observation and location data, will provide the inputs into a national picture to assist in planning and preparing for natural hazards, and of course, responding to and recovering from disasters as they happen.
Thanks, James. Over to you, Tom.
I think it's important that we consider our broader context when answering this question. For AGO, our focus is on Australia's strategic environment and supporting the Australian Defence Force to achieve its objectives. As identified in the government's strategic defence policy, the 2020 Defence Strategic Update, Australia is facing a period of rapid change and strategic realignment in our region. We are experiencing an escalation of challenges with the COVID-19 pandemic and natural disasters, including the recent floods, launching us into a period where rapid response to the unprecedented is a must. In these times, AGO will have access to increasingly large volumes of data from a broader range of sources than we've had access to in the past. Demand for spatial data, or GEOINT, within defence will continue to grow. We need to be able to innovate and work smarter with this data to meet the demand for more of it, more rapidly and to a higher standard. But with these challenges, I think there will be exciting opportunities for us to reinvent how we approach data for the better. We need to quickly gather it, process it and make sense of it. We then need, importantly, to be able to provide this data to our customers at the speed of relevance in the most usable format. Therefore, we need to manage our GEOINT data to allow our stakeholders to discover and capitalise on the breadth of data, services and technologies that we put at their disposal. We also need to ensure that the enterprise management of our GEOINT data assets supports new Defence Force capabilities and technologies. We need to continue to diversify the GEOINT we access. There are opportunities to explore artificial intelligence and human-machine solutions. And there are opportunities to promote our ability to work in collaboration within defence, within the government, and with partners further afield. I think James and I would both agree that this is a great opportunity for organisations such as ours to work together. I think we're facing the same problems nationwide and even internationally, and a siloed approach will get us nowhere. So our current challenges also present a great opportunity for industry to get involved. With the government continuing to invest in defence capability, there will be many opportunities for AGO to benefit from the cutting-edge technology that industry has to offer. So in summary, in response to your question, I think that while we're in very challenging times, this means we have the chance and we also must think deeply about the way we approach data and collectively consider new approaches and alternatives.
I would agree with Tom wholeheartedly on the partnerships, the need for partnerships and working together across the various components of the government sector and indeed partnering with industry.
It really sounds to me as though there's such strong recognition that whether it's on a national scale, or a local regional scale or an international scale, there are so many challenges coming up, and we'll hear at Locate 22 from speakers like Fiona McKenzie from Orange Compass about the mega trends that are impacting the broader global context that we work in. It's really fantastic to hear that Australian federal government is very well aware and thinking so much on the front foot around what the challenges are, but with such a proactive view, seeing them as opportunities. What are your priorities for each of your organisations to address these changes?
Sure. Thanks, Roshni. Look, at Geoscience Australia, we recognise that creating and using and sharing spatial data isn't just about the data and technology. For providing timely, accurate and trusted data through interactive and easy to use platforms, we have to have strong partnerships, good people capabilities and supporting policies. So internally at Geoscience Australia, we're framing the delivery of the Digital Atlas of Australia around what we're calling the four Ps: platform, partnerships, policy and people. The Digital Atlas platform will be based on best of breed technology and will deliver curated content and mission specific views and user centric analytics that are easy to access and easy to use. The Digital Atlas will operate as a federated system connecting to other systems to deliver data and information on Australia's geography, but importantly, other data sets, environment, people and economy, economic data. So to achieve that, we're going to be building on existing partnerships and we'll form new strategic and collaborative partnerships across Commonwealth, state and territory governments, with industry, with academia and also communities. For example, we're already working with the Australian Bureau of Statistics to integrate socioeconomic data into the Digital Atlas of Australia. And we think this is going to provide a richness of information and knowledge through the spatial enablement of what has traditionally been essentially statistical data. Our work will be underpinned by strong, sound policy, including strategies, partnership agreements, governance arrangements, and work processes and workflows. So people, of course, are the key element to delivery of the Digital Atlas of Australia. So ensuring our people are skilled and capable is, of course, a high priority.
I'd certainly agree with James that our people must be a priority going forward. And perhaps we'll have an opportunity to explore that a bit later. But in addition to that, as AGO strives to transform the way we collect, analyse and disseminate due in over the next 5 years, we must also transform the way that we govern, manage and curate our data. To help us, or to help guide our efforts in this regard, in 2021, we released our inaugural data strategy to ensure that we have the data capability to support the transformations driven by our broader strategic reforms. In response to our changing strategic environment in particular, we will govern our data to ensure the delivery of prioritised, interoperable and fit-for-purpose GeoInt. We will empower our inquisitive and innovative workforce to grow our data skills and competencies. We will identify opportunities to leverage best practice from our stakeholders and harness new technologies and approaches. And we will aim to set the pace for our domestic and international stakeholders and partners. As the leader of Defence's GeoInt community, AGO must drive change and transform our data practices and processes to provide the best possible GeoInt data and services for the Defence of Australia and its national interests, and to meet the increasing global demand for GeoInt data. As I mentioned before, doing this in close cooperation with partners will be a key to our success. AGO's GeoInt data and services must enable our stakeholders with decision-making superiority and the ability to deliver effects across a range of domains. We will adapt to changing requirements in this regard, align our goals with government priorities and deliver interoperable, fit-for-purpose GeoInt data and services. We will also change our approach to data sharing to ensure that GeoInt data is available to more stakeholders in more places. And our default posture will be to share GeoInt data and services as widely as we can, and we will ensure that our processes and practices align with the principles of open data management.
Thank you, Tom. I really get a clear picture from both of you here that understanding how business culture influences how you reach these outcomes and the priorities that allow you to realize the opportunities, it comes down to people and making sure that your workforce really feels empowered, but also feels that they have a sense of ownership over the way forward. That is so important. Would you mind sharing with us a little bit more about how you're equipping your workforce to manage these changes?
I couldn't agree more with you, Roshni, that I think we'd all agree, in fact, that having a skilled and a capable workforce is critical to success. And it's certainly our view here at Geoscience Australia. So we're undertaking an analysis of training needs, and we're investing in learning and development opportunities for our staff to make sure that our people have the right skills now and, of course, into the future. And we're also developing workforce plans and reviewing our recruitment strategies to make sure that we have the right mix of skills and can attract and retain talent. We're acutely aware, as I guess everyone in the virtual room will be aware, of the skills shortages across the spatial sector. And it's so important that we partner with others in the sector to collectively address the skills shortage. And you touched on culture in your introduction to the question, Roshni, and I think that becomes super important to retention of staff. When we have talented, trained, skilled people, we need the right culture that makes them want to work, in our case, in Geoscience Australia, and provide a workplace where they can thrive and grow. So that's definitely part of our plan. I'm really interested to hear Tom's perspective on this.
Thanks, James. And I really strongly agree with you on the point that you've made around providing a culture within any organisation that supports its workforce and aims to attract people into it. You really can't emphasise that enough. And I'm really pleased, Roshni, that we've got an opportunity to unpack this, the question that you've asked, because our workforce is essential to our success in what we do. Not just the size of the workforce, obviously, but the skills that our people have and continue to develop within the AGO is critical to our work as well as to our innovation. To guide our approach to this, one of our key strategic goals in AGO is to equip and empower our people to deliver increasingly complex and diverse functions and outputs. To cultivate the culture of inquisitiveness and continuous improvement that you need to be able to do this, we're continuing to reshape and upskill our workforce for future data challenges. This includes empowering our current workforce, recruiting new data experts, and establishing initiatives to cultivate a more data-driven organisation. To do this, we need a workforce with a range of skills. This includes analysts, coders, statisticians, critical thinkers, but most importantly, people who are curious and creative in how they go about their work. From my perspective, AGO gives its staff the opportunity to do unique work using data sources that aren't available in other jobs. We're supported, and our staff are supported in their efforts by a number of learning and development initiatives within AGO to support greater innovation, curiosity, and data literacy across AGO. We're investing in our people by providing training in the necessary data skills and capabilities to ensure that we're a data-driven organisation with modern analytic workflows. We're providing opportunities for staff to undertake fully funded postgraduate studies in data analytics and data science. And we also have an in-house analytic modernisation program to encourage and support innovative thinking across our analyst community. And I just thought I might give you a more detailed example to give some colour to that. AGO has developed a skills-based learning pathways program to support the professional development of staff and equip them with training opportunities. These opportunities are based on five key skilling themes, one of it which is to make our people data and digital fluent. The program uses a 70-20-10 learning methodology where 70% of learning is experienced on the job, 20% is by exposure near the job, and 10% is by formal education off the job. This program aims to promote career-long learning by encouraging our staff to undertake development activities that are broader than just those offered in the formal classroom or virtual classroom environment. Take it even further, associated skilling maps have been developed for each priority skill that highlights opportunities grouped to the 70-20-10 model that will allow our people to find relevant learning to develop their skills in this area. The program will be rolled out within AGO this year as part of annual performance cycle discussions, giving everyone a chance to have meaningful conversations on how they want to develop their skills beyond any immediate requirements. And this is a really important point, because it's vital that we invest in the development of skills beyond our immediate need so that we're able to meet future needs.
It's excellent and really, really exciting to hear about both of these really strong cases where there's such an emphasis on recognising, A, that within the broader industry we do have challenges around workforce development, but then this really tangible, quite immediate focus on clear strategies to take action to be able to work on this. And it's also clear, hearing both of you, that government partnerships are crucial to the way that we are able to build this future workforce, among other initiatives, of course. Why do you both feel that government partnerships are so important for getting the most out of our workforce, but also getting the most out of our spatial data?
Well, if I may start on that one, I'll provide a little bit of context before I come to the why specifically. So Geoscience Australia already has some strong partnerships across government, including with other Commonwealth agencies, but also with state and territory organisations. And we represent the Commonwealth on ANZLIC, the peak intergovernmental body in Australia and New Zealand, responsible for spatial information. And we've also established and we chair the Location Interdepartmental Committee with representatives from government departments who use spatial data as part of their day-to-day work. So we've been quite deliberate in trying to be connected across government. And the reason for that is that we believe these government partnerships ensure our data sharing, integration, and technology arrangements are in line with national standards, for one. Secondly, they allow us to co-design fit for purpose and timely and trusted location services, also applications and products. And thirdly, the partnerships provide avenues to promote the use and benefits of location information through effective communication and knowledge exchange, so that we're all on the same page, consistently and deliberately updating one another. So these partnerships, we believe, are critical to our success, and we're strongly committed to building on them as we move forward.
Well, I certainly agree with the points that James is making around the value and benefit of partnerships. We in AGO benefit from the experience and support of our GEOINT partners, and in strengthening these relationships, including within Australia and with international partners, we create efficiencies so that we can share our data and expertise to meet the increasing global demand for geospatial information. We're actively engaged with government departments, industry, academia, and international partners for data expertise, production, innovation, and capability development. And as I've mentioned, I'm confident James would agree that we all get a lot out of these cross-government partnerships. It's important that we continue this work to share data, expertise, and knowledge. In particular, for AGO, we work with innovation areas within the Department of Defence and the broader national security community in the Australian government to leverage expertise and to work collaboratively on innovation activities that can enhance GEOINT analysis and production. We also work very closely with our national government partners, including, of course, Geoscience Australia, the Bureau of Meteorology, the Australian Space Agency, and the Intergovernmental Committee on Surveying and Mapping. I just want to call out that our partnership with GA has allowed us to share our insights and lessons to better manage data, deliver geospatial products and services, and to undergo research projects and professional development. Two of our graduate staff members recently participated in a staff exchange between GA and an AGO. This was a great opportunity for us to share our geospatial skills and subject matter knowledge, helping us both to stay at the forefront of geospatial analysis. GA and AGO are also partners in the Defence Mapping Australia project, a collaborative project to improve access and integration of national spatial data to meet Defence's geospatial requirements. And we also collaborate on the Hydro Scheme Industry Partnership Program. This program outsources the collection of bathymetric data to industry to support the safety of navigation within the Australian charting area and to support Defence's maritime domain awareness. This data also feeds into AusSeaBed, a collaborative program focused on improving the awareness, coverage, quality, discoverability and accessibility of seabed mapping data in the Australian maritime region. We can certainly thank our partnership with Geoscience Australia for a lot of what we achieve in Defence and AGO.
I'd just like to acknowledge that we value that partnership very highly at GA as well, across many domains, and certainly with the staff exchange, the opportunity for secondments, and particularly in the bathymetric data. It's one of the key avenues through which we're able to continue to map the seafloor, Australia's marine jurisdiction. It's a very valuable partnership.
Partnerships really do bring so much to business. They really level up the opportunities to make impact, but also the opportunities to synergize and reshape your business culture to keep it relevant and to keep it active and inspired. And what about outside of government partnerships? What other partnerships do you feel are important for enhancing our approach to data?
Spatial data, technology and information, they're ubiquitous really in today's society. And with the advent of the fourth industrial revolution, that will just continue. Spatial data is no longer confined to the surveying sector or mapping agencies. It's becoming integral to all kinds of sensors, and as they connect, the Internet of Things. So the exponential growth and mainstreaming of location-enabled technologies is fueling demand for real-time location data and a reliance on advanced analytics and data visualization to deliver real-time insights and rapidly solve problems. And this is pretty much across all sectors of society. So given these emerging trends, it's really important that organisations like my own, Geoscience Australia, that we expand our partnerships beyond the government sector so that we can engage a wider spectrum of spatial data suppliers and users and tap into greater talent pools to drive innovation, research and development. And I'm thinking particularly in the application of the data that historically we've simply delivered. I think there's scope for us to become far better connected with downstream users and keep them informed of what's coming down the pipeline from government so that they're action ready, so to speak, to take that and run with new opportunities, new developments that will create jobs and enhance the economy.
I certainly support everything that James has just said. I've mentioned before already our partnerships across the Australian government and internationally as well. So I might just hone in here on expanding on our engagement with industry, which is an important part of driving innovation and modernisation within AGO. That engagement allows us to undertake geo-in research and development, leveraging expertise not available in-house, and it accelerates AGO's ability to modernise analytical processes and geo-in production workflows. So we're investing in programs that work with industry to understand and leverage those capabilities that could enhance our geoint analysis into the future. One priority for us is to understand the benefits that artificial intelligence and machine learning capabilities can bring to geoint analysis and production workflows. In-house, AGO is supporting experts in the field of data analysis, data science and data engineering who work with geoint professionals to develop tradecraft that can exploit the larger volumes of data that are now becoming available. We've also established what we call the AGO Analytics Lab Program to engage and work with industry. The aim of this program is to address AGO capability challenges through short-term industry projects that focus on machine learning and analytics. We invite industry and academia to respond to declassified machine learning challenges, and then AGO analysts and data scientists collaborate with organisations that provide the most interesting and relevant proposal responses. The program allows us to make industry aware of our needs while also getting a sense of what industry has to offer. In fact, one of our recent graduates will be presenting on an AGO Labs Challenge at Locate Conference, one focused on detecting and distinguishing between different vessel types. I really would strongly recommend that you attend his presentation if you'd like to hear a bit more about this one aspect of our increasing industry engagement.
Thank you very much. So we're reaching the end of our podcast episode here, and I'd like to wrap up by bringing us back to how we live and our lives as individuals. James, Tom, I'd love to hear something that you enjoy doing outside of work. Are there any books that you have found pivotal in your life? Any TV shows that you find riveting and you just love to binge after work, or any hobbies that you like to do to refill your cup and recharge and let you both continue to do the incredible work that you both are so good at that creates such impact in our industry?
Well, I'll mention three specific things that I do to recharge. One of the things that my wife and I are very keen on in recent times, particularly since COVID lockdowns and things, is we've do, in effect, armchair tourism through binge-watching series on SBS On Demand. They're always in other languages, and so we travelled to Iceland and Spain and Greenland and numerous other countries, many of them Nordic, always with a crime plot to solve, so that's a lot of fun. I've also gotten more heavily into running, and that's principally because in the absence of work-related travel, I'm actually able to keep better routines and schedules. And the other thing, which I don't know whether I should admit to or not, is I've become an avid brewer of beer. And I've discovered that my beer is better than anything I've ever bought. And it's a really new hobby and I love it.
Well, I think I've discovered another reason for even closer engagement between Geoscience and the AGO so that we can sample James' beer. It's certainly...
It's an offer going out.
Thank you. I think I recall brewing when I was a student at university, I would not brag about the results of that endeavour. So it's not currently something I'm pursuing. I'll give you a couple of things that I do. I think in Canberra, we're very blessed with a range of amazing national cultural institutions that provide an incredible insight into culture, art and history. So the National Gallery, Library, the War Memorial and others all never cease to amaze me, the wealth of cultural capital that they hold, and there's always something new to look at. So that's certainly something I try and do whenever I can. I do read a lot, and I read widely, everything from biographies through to the slightly trashier end of the scale, crime thrillers, and I've just finished working my way through a series of classic 1980s Len Dighton thrillers, which I'd recommend to everyone who enjoys a good spy story. And then finally, at the moment, I'm enjoying seeing the world through the eyes of my two young children, who are every day, it seems, discover something new and fun to do. And a lot of that is fun to be a part of as well. So thank you for that question, Rojni. And thanks very much for coordinating this podcast and for some great questions.
Thank you both. It has been such a delight, and I'm confident that our listeners to today's podcast will get just as much learning and positive entertainment and gems of wisdom from hearing you both. So thank you so much for taking out the time to spend with us, and we all look forward to seeing you at Locate and hearing your keynote.
It's a pleasure, and we're looking forward to Locate 22. Thank you, Rojni.